I had intended to break these topics up, but I'm going to give you choice. Normally, we don't really give you a choice until later on during the program, but I got two topics here. First topic, I was listening to some other radio stations today, as I do during the day, and I was amazed at the amount of criticism directed at Scott Brown, because he has apparently, according to the other listeners, the people who I was listening to, commentators and listeners, he was being criticized because he does not want to pursue challenges against the camp counselor who sexually assaulted him back some 40 or so years ago. I don't get it. I don't get it. Seems to me what Scott Brown has done is pretty courageous to come out and acknowledge not only that he had a checkered past, came from a series of broken homes. Forget the number. He lived in something like 18 houses in the first, or 18 homes, houses, apartments, whatever, during the first 17 years of his life. But he recalled vividly what had happened to him at this camp when he was about 10 years old. And it was called Camp Good News. I guess it's still in operation down in the Cape. And I was listening to all the weeping and the moaning and the gnashing of teeth. Well, he needs to bring charges against this guy. Scott Brown may not even know the name of this individual. Certainly after 40 years, I think it's highly likely that the statute of limitations has run, despite all of the changes in statute of limitations in terms of child abuse. Sexual child abuse here in Massachusetts. And it's just interesting that every other sexual abuse victim that I have heard about, I've read about, we all recognize this happens. We all are sympathetic, understandably so, and empathetic to the abuse victims. And yet, somehow, some way, Scott Brown, in the minds of some people here, is not to be believed, and he's questioned. Why is he putting in a book? You know why he's writing a book, folks? He's writing a book because he's a United States senator, and his election last January probably started, and if it didn't start, it certainly gave great momentum to the Tea Party revolution that resulted in the elections in November of 2010. So if you're one of those hand-wringers out there who want to explain to me why you're cynical and skeptical of Scott Brown, bring it on. Bring it on. Now, the other item that I'd like to talk about, and I'm going to give you two choices this hour, and we'll get back to either or both of these during the 11 o'clock hour, is I'm sure most of you saw the story today that an American yacht, which had been overtaken by Somali pirates last Friday, had been able to send out an SOS signal, and U.S. Navy ships had followed this yacht. Apparently, two couples on board, two men, two women, they were, amongst other things, passing out Bibles as they circumnavigated the world. Just a six-year trip for these folks. They're pretty experienced. And they're, in effect, missionaries, okay? They're passing out Bibles. Not something I would do, probably not something you would do. But they found themselves in a tough situation when 19 Somali pirates overtook their craft. They did send out an SOS, and apparently the Somali pirates were trying to get them back to shore. I guess it's called Puntland, P-U-N-T-L-A-N-D, which at one point was part of Somalia. I don't get Somalia. Don't worry about it. Bottom line is one of these knucklehead pirates, apparently from the yacht, fires an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade, at a U.S. Navy vessel, which didn't hit the Navy vessel. But even if it had, wouldn't have made much of an impact on the U.S. Navy vessel. Shortly after, the Navy vessels, which were following at, I guess, about 600 yards, heard gunfire coming from the cabin of the yacht. They dispatched Navy SEAL teams to the yacht. When they got on the yacht, they found two of the Americans dead, two of the Americans mortally wounded. They found two of the Somali pirates dead. And they found, and they had a, I guess there was a fight with two other of the Somali pirates who also were killed by the U.S. Navy SEALs. And they have 15 Somali pirates left. 19 minus 4, you got 15. My question is this. Why didn't our Navy, and I don't know how far this boat was from shore, but if it was a good distance, and when I say a good distance, 20, 25, 30 miles from shore, why didn't they just take those Somali pirates and say, it is now your time, your turn to get off this boat? And one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, one after the other, all 15, dump them into the water. Let the sharks have to do with them. And if they were too close to shore and you couldn't dump, didn't have time to dump all 15, kill them, execute them. Be done with them. Those people, 15 Somali pirates, they are now going to be our responsibility in our court system. They're going to have due process and all of that. They didn't give due process to those Americans. I am sick and tired of the United States government and our foreign, our military becoming a punching bag. I wish those Somali pirates tonight, if they hadn't jumped in the water or been thrown into the water, they should have been shot, killed, and thrown overboard. That's what I think. I want to know what you think. 617-254-1030. I'll tell you this. If that had happened, you'd have a lot fewer Somali pirates, and I think you'd have a lot fewer hijackings in the weeks and the months ahead.
Nightside with Dan Ray. Be a part of the show. Call 617-254-1030. WBZ News Radio 1030.
So we sit by. And I don't blame the U.S. Navy here. I do not blame the U.S. Navy, and I do not blame the Obama administration. I want to make that very clear, what happened here. The fault is the Somali pirates. And don't tell me about the poverty. Don't tell me about how desperate these young men are. I don't care. I don't care. There's no question that all of them were involved in the hijacking of this ship. And if they were there, the principle of a felony murder applies. And all I would have done if I was the commander of that vessel, and thank God for them, I'm not. I don't want to take them into custody. I don't want to feed them, clothe them, house them for the next 35, 40 years. I want them off God's good green earth. And someone suggested to me today, if we were far enough out to sea, let them swim. Each and every one of them, let them swim. Let them jump in the water, deal with the sharks, and swim to shore. Swim for your life. You got more of a chance than you gave these poor, innocent two men and two women who are doing nothing more than traversing the world and handing out Bibles. Every one of them, dump them in the water. Now, if we were too close to shore, I would say, kill them, take them out about 200 miles, and let the sharks have at them. And I'll bet you there would be very few Somali pirates going after American ships in the future. What do you think? Let's go to the calls. Let's start it off with Eric in West Bridgewater. Eric, how are you?
Good, Dan. It's Derek. Derek over here.
Derek. I'm sorry, Derek. I said Eric. I should have known it would have been Derek.
Yep, I guess he couldn't hear me when he...
Yeah, no problem. You can respond to the Scott Brown question. You can respond to the Somali pirates. Your choice.
Quickly on the Somali pirates, I believe, you know, the law of the sea, you know, a couple hundred years ago is probably the way to... Even 100 years ago is probably the way to handle that. You know, the captain should have discretion to sink the ship or, you know, just deal out the justice right there and then. With pirates, they don't deserve give them the same respect they gave those poor, you know, people, the tragedy that happened to those poor people. It's a tragedy, you know, that we have to put up with things like this.
It's cold-blooded, you know? It's cold-blooded murder. And they're at, you know, we're going to have to feed them, house them, clothe them, give them a trial.
Yeah, they probably had a better life than they had and after that fact, too. You know, they probably got a better food than they had. You know, they're probably pretty...
Well,
pretty
I would, if I had the ability, I would have sent them to meet their maker.
I mean, I actually called about the Scott Brown situation.
Go ahead.
I got that email earlier. You were saying that some people are questioning his integrity or honesty.
You know, I mean, this is the first sexual abuse victim that I have ever heard anyone question.
Yeah, that's. I think his problem here is he got, you know, the sleazy Chicago politician machine going after him.
You got it.
ramping up.
Yeah, the sleazy machine that probably would get elected tonight in Chicago. And you know what, people of Chicago? You vote that bum in out there, you deserve it.
And the other side of that is you have the other right wing of the Republican Party who doesn't think he's far right enough.
Absolutely, you know? The purity people.
Sean Bilow was taking shots at him, and you know, it's unfortunate. He's a guy that's pretty close to the middle of America. You know, and a Massachusetts Republican is probably pretty close to America, the middle of America.
Yep.
And because he stands in that middle ground, and you know what I say, the top of the hill, everybody's going to be like poking at him from both sides to try to, you know, unseat him. And, well, you know, if the Republicans think they can find somebody better in Massachusetts, unlikely. Unlikely. You know, you got to get somebody elected in Massachusetts. And the Democrats are going to, blither away at him for the next, when the next election comes
I just
up.
Love it that he's the first victim of sexual abuse that all these skeptics. And I assume that they're Democrats, but that's okay. They're skeptics. And, why hasn't he charged? Why didn't he come out before? Why didn't he come out when he was 11? Why didn't he come out when he was 12? Why didn't he come out when he was 13?
You know, it's not an easy subject. You know, I mean, I happened to be on a baseball team when I was younger, and there was the assistant coach of the baseball team was trying to attack half the kids on the team.
Great.
All the kids knew about it, you know. But nothing was done about it back then.
Yeah, well,
you know? I mean, I was in a difficult situation. I actually had to defend myself to get away from that person. So it's not uncommon.
I think the hypocrisy of some of my friends on the left is amazing, just absolutely amazing on this one. That because it's Scott Brown, if it had been John Kerry who had come out and said that, what courage Senator Kerry showed, and also what compassion because he decided that he would not pursue charges that were 40 years old. He's courageous. He's compassionate. No, Scott Brown, in their ideas, Scott Brown is making it up. And if he's not making it up, he's a phony for not pursuing it. Derek,
that's a terrible angle they're taking there.
Well, you know what? That's their angle, and they're going to live with it. They're going to own it. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah, have a good one, Dan.
You too, pal. Talk to you. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Scott Brown, the Somali Pirates, your choice this hour. Irene in Danvers. Hi, Irene. How are you?
I'm a little disappointed, Dan.
I'm sorry.
I want the other Dan, the lawyer and the voice of reason. And I'm saying that in regard to the Somali pirates. No, I couldn't be more horrified than you are about the murder of the Americans, of any Americans.
Yep.
But this idea that we in turn should turn to murder.
Well, what about this? Okay, what about this, Irene? Okay, maybe I'm a little too extreme.
And remember, you're a lawyer.
I am a lawyer. I never forget that, okay? I never forget that. But these people are not American citizens, okay? They're out on the high seas. They've committed piracy and murder. Now, what about if we take the boat out about 200 miles, and then one by one, we let them go? We let them swim to shore. Would that be okay?
No.
Why?
Listen, I'm a retired history teacher.
All right.
And one of the most amazing experiences I had while I was studying history as a graduate student was a course I took with a man at Harvard who was taught both in the history department and in the law school.
Okay.
And the course I took, a year's course in medieval history, the constitutional history of England in medieval times, I learned the whole development of due process of law.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that. I'm going to give these guys the same amount of due process that they gave the four. I'm going to give these people even more due process because I'm going to give them a chance to swim to shore.
No, but seriously, Dan.
I'm totally serious.
I mean, I immediately, when I heard your solution, I thought of things like facts. Maybe there was one person on that pirate ship who wasn't there voluntarily, who had been kidnapped, and a legal process would have ascertained that Ahmed...
Irene, what do you do with the other 18 if you're not going to buy into one of the solutions, which is to take the boat 200 miles out to sea and give them all a chance to swim to shore? What are you going to do with the other 18 who you now know were actually guilty and were there and watched the Americans executed?
But would you want the one who is not guilty killed. I mean, you know, that's why you have trials,
yeah,
to find out facts.
Right, but Irene, I normally agree with you. But if you're gonna take over a boat and you're gonna execute people, you don't deserve, in my opinion, due process.
But how do you know that, for example, I'm just taking this out of the air.
Sure.
How do you know, in fact, that there wasn't somebody on there who hadn't been impressed to be on that boat?
Well, you know what? I would take that chance. But, Irene, you've made a very good point.
Okay, I can't tie up your phone.
No.
You're the voice of reason, and I think even in such an extreme case, you should try to remember that. That's what I'm getting
I at. Always remember that, and as they say, in this one, I'm going to give him a break, taking him out 200 miles, and I'm going to give him a chance to swim to shore.
Okay.
All right?
No, I mean, remember, you're a lawyer, and I have tremendous respect for lawyers, and that's my grandfather was a very great lawyer.
Well, there were some good lawyers, and then there were some bad lawyers. But
I'll say I don't want to tie this up.
All right,
but
thanks,
Irene.
I was
disturbed because I do respect you.
Well, thank you very much, and I respect.
Okay.
We can agree to disagree. Thanks,
okay,
Irene.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Let me go to Karen in Braintree. Karen, we got one more with thrown overboard. Go ahead.
Hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to talk to you about the Scott Brown thing, and
sure.
I applaud him stepping forward. I applaud, his courage. I know it takes a lot to do that, and he has, I have great respect for him for doing that. But I've seen, you know, there's been a couple articles over the weekend that talked about Scott Brown's endorsement of Jeff Perry, and I found that a little bit unsettling from that perspective, to have been a victim and to have known the controversy surrounding Jeff Perry and to not have contested what the girl's allegations were against Perry and his officers.
He did say, Karen, and I understand the point you're making. He did say that the officer, here's what's important to me. I have been at police scenes where arrests are being made or people are being questioned. And sometimes it's in the middle of the night. And there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of activity and you do not hear everything. I don't know if Perry realized. He said he did not realize what was going on, okay?
Yeah.
And the voters have spoken on that, and that probably cost Perry the election. But I don't know it was up to Scott Brown to make that determination. He had endorsed Perry. There was no evidence that I have seen. Perry was never prosecuted for this. I certainly would want to know more about it. I've listened to what Perry said. I've listened to what Brown said. Having been at police scenes, you can have someone 20 feet away from you who you may not hear their conversation. I don't know. I wasn't
sure.
There.
And I understand that, but from the endorsement of Scott Brown,
yep.
Scott Brown's endorsement of Jeff Perry, in the endorsement, he doesn't challenge anything about what the victim has said, or doesn't say anything in, you know, that Perry couldn't have been there. I mean, doesn't voice any opinion, and instead kind of dismisses it and says, the voters don't want to hear about this. Me, that's a little bit unsettling.
Fair enough. I understand that point, and I respect that point. I will just wanted to add that the victim in this case did not surface until I think only about a week or so before the election.
Correct.
I think that if she had surfaced earlier, and if more of the facts had become settled,
sure,
and if it could have been shown that Perry really knew what was going on and had turned a deaf ear. And if that was in the public record, and I think Brown would be open to a lot more criticism, but that is not where it was.
No, and understand, and it is. I understand. There's a lot of things that were kind of up in the air about that, things that were unknown or misunderstood. It was unsettling to me that Scott Brown, that was his first endorsement in that election cycle, and. You know, why not stay out of it if there was questions or, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he endorsed Perry
over Joe Malone.
Correct.
Way back when. But that was a choice where he made a choice. Now, I don't know what his relationship is with Malone, with Perry, but that endorsement would have come sometime last May or June, long before all this stuff began to swirl around Perry.
Sure.
I wish the stuff had swirled around Perry from the get-go so that Republican voters might have said, hey, he's a flawed candidate. There's questions about what he did or did not do, and he didn't answer the questions adequately. Karen, great points. I got to run.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for your point of view. Thank you. Nightside with Dan Ray.
The new number, 888-929-1030. Get you in touch with Dan Ray on Nightside, WBZ News Radio 1030.
Right back to the phones we go. Mike is in Maryland. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing good, Dan.
Which topic you want to take a swing at, Mike?
The pirate.
Well, one of my emailers, Gene, the Greyhound girl, says don't call them pirates, call them thugs and terrorists. So, the thugs and the terrorists.
Oh, I totally agree. And as soon as I heard you voice your opinion about them, about throwing them overboard, I had to give you a call. I am a former Navy SEAL. I've been out of the service for about 20 years now.
Thank you for your service, Mike.
Thank you. It was actually an honor to serve. I served under one of our greatest presidents, and at that time he was building up our military. And now our fearless leader, who I will unfortunately would have to salute, but I don't really want to.
You salute the office, not the man. You know that.
Yes, this is true. He is cutting the knees off of our military. He is turning our country into a shame in front of the world. Right. And all we'd have to do is take this boat 12 miles offshore. That's the international waters then. And then don't even ask questions.
Well,
later.
You know, Mike, this yacht was captured 190 nautical miles offshore, which, as I understand it, I'm not much of a mariner, was 200 miles offshore. So it was well in international waters when it was captured. It was not near the coast of Somalia whatsoever.
By Saturday night, we should have had control of that yacht. If once the Navy was contacted, our Navy SEAL should have been aboard by Saturday night. And that yacht should have been back in our control. But unfortunately, our fearless leader wouldn't allow that.
Well, you know what? I am probably as critical of President Obama as anybody, but I'm not sure that he makes the call in that set of circumstances. You would know better than I, but I assume that there's a military chain of command, and I'm not sure that he would make the tactical determination. And you know, you've got to remember now, if I'm not mistaken, do you remember that ship that was held captive a couple of years ago where the Navy SEAL sharpshooters took out the three of the four pirates?
No, actually.
No, it was about 2 years ago. It was a crew that was actually based out of Massachusetts, or out of New England. The captain was a fellow, I think his last name was Captain Phillips, out of Vermont. And they had Navy sharpshooters, I assume they were SEALs, who simultaneously killed three of those pirates. There were four pirates on that boat, but it was it was called like the Maersk Alabama. It was a much bigger vessel than this one.
Right.
All right, Mike. Well, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your sentiments. And please feel free to call Nightside anytime you like.
Thank you, Dan. You have a good night now. You're a great American.
Thank you very much. You're a much greater American than I ever could be. Thank you, Mike. Let's go next to Barbara. Hey, Barbara, how you calling? How you doing? Hello, Barbara?
Hello?
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm good.
Where are you calling from, Barbara?
West Roxbury.
West Roxbury. Okay. It says East E Roxbury up here, and I knew there was no such thing as East Roxbury, but it West Roxbury. Welcome to Nightside.
Thank you, Dan. Calling about the Scott Brown issue.
Sure.
And I got something different out of what he's saying. I don't think he's saying, look what happened to me. I think he's saying, look what I did with my life despite what happened to me. And as a survivor myself, it took me 40 years before I was able to tell somebody. And I worked through it. And when you come out the other side and you're okay, you want to share that with people who might be going through it, to let them know that you can come through it.
Barbara, I've never been the victim of anything like you experienced or anything like Scott Brown experienced. But if you have a situation like that, and you survive it however you survive it, I don't know, you know, I'm not trying to press you on your specifics, but Do you not try to, at some point, almost repress that in the back of your mind and almost make you feel, I don't want to deal with it. It's over. It's done with. You can never get rid of it. But if you thought about it every day, I think you'd go nuts.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You have to move on at some point.
I mean, we've all had bad experiences in our lives, whether or not someone was victimized by crime, by a robbery on the street, whether your home was broken into, whether your car was stolen. We've all had those sorts of experiences. Yours even worse because it's such a personal intrusion. I remember one time my car was broken into, and for days I felt violated. It was just because my stupid car, somebody smashed, tried to get into the passenger side, and I was able to look out the window and scared the person off, but not before they had done some damage to the lock on the passenger's door. But you feel violated. I can't imagine what you or what Scott Brown would have felt like having gone through what you've gone through, and that's why I have always been very sympathetic to anyone who's been victimized in that way, particularly when they're kids.
Right, right. But I think for Scott, he's just trying to reach out to people who may be going through it to know that you can function and you can go on.
Well, I listened today to a couple of, as I do during the day, I listen to BZ most of the day, but every once in a while I want to hear what's going on another station. And I just, it's like, look, do you doubt it? It's like these people aren't courageous enough to say they doubt it happened, but he should come out because this pedophile could still be walking around. I guess that's possible. But weren't there lawyers who signed agreements, non-disclosure agreements with the Catholic Church way back in the 70s and early 80s so that their client was compensated? But then there was a non-disclosure agreement where the victim couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't blame that victim who's trying to do whatever they can to make themselves whole. They're not thinking about, what's going to happen? It just seemed to me like, people out there who don't like Scott Brown, Scott Brown could be handing out million-dollar checks and they'd still say, he's cynical. It's because of his upcoming political election.
Right.
Barbara, thank you so much. Thank God you have survived your experience.
Thanks a lot, Dan. You take care.
You call anytime. Good night. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Nightside with Dan Ray.
Nightside with Dan Ray. Be a part of the show. Call 617-254-1030.
Phones are busy. If you don't get through this hour, we will come back to this at 11 o'clock tonight, to both of these topics. Marie on the cell. Hey, Marie, how are you?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hold on for 1 second. I just had to throw another Somali pirate overboard. Go right ahead.
Okay. It's interesting that you're taking my call right after Barbara's call, because I, too, was in that situation. And in my case, it was a case of clerical sexual abuse. And I, too, was 40 years or so before I told anybody about it. So while I'm as far as you can be, probably on the political spectrum from Scott Brown, some issues transcend politics. And,
absolutely. Well said. Well said.
And, I understand full well. What really grabbed me when I was first listening to these things on the radio, somebody asked him if he told anybody at the time, and he said, no. I mean, the way he said it, it just resonated. It's like, of course not. Are you kidding? No, of course I didn't tell anybody. So, I think that's an experience that a lot of people who've been through it would recognize. You just didn't tell anybody.
Right. It's unfortunate. People feel shame, and there's no reason that a victim like this should ever feel shame, just like someone who gets beaten up on the street by a mugger shouldn't feel shame, but then they feel fear. And in Scott Brown's case, the pervert basically threatened him. You said it was clerical abuse.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And I also perfectly well sympathize with his decision not to try to proceed, even if the guy's around, who knows. It's his decision whether he wants to try to press charges against the guy. And if he wants to just put it behind him and move on, that's his right. Nobody should say he has to do it.
Marie, couldn't agree with you more. I don't care whether you're a liberal, conservative, independent, moderate, or whatever. I love your reasoning and your rationale, and I hope you call this show often.
Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for calling. Good night, Marie. 617-254-1030, 888 WBZ 1030, 888-929-1030. Talking about Scott Brown and those who have, I think, criticized him unfairly. They somehow see political motives in this. I don't see political motives at all. I see a guy that is finally purging himself of stuff that he's carried on in his mind alone for 40 years. And we're talking about the Somali pirates. And as I say, someone suggested to me, take the boat out about 200 miles. Let's throw another one overboard. Back on Nightside.
Nightside with Dan Ray. Join in the discussion. Call the new number 888-929-1030. Nightside, WBZ, News Radio 1030.
Back to the calls we go. We're going to go to Waltham to Milt. Hey, Milt, how are you tonight?
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine. What issue interests you, Milt?
I don't like what happened over there in Somalia. You know why?
Who would like it? No one would like it.
No, they should not have been permitted to go there. Now, what was the purpose for them to go there?
Wait a second. Who are you talking about? The Americans?
Yeah.
Well, the Americans have, I guess, they've been on a worldwide six-year voyage. I guess it's a retirement voyage, and they're traversing the world, Milt. They were 200 miles out to sea, Milt. We're going to blame the victims or blame the pirates?
Look, you know what Somalia pirates are like, don't you?
You know what Somalia pirates would be like if it was up to me? They'd be dead pirates or they'd be swimming in shark-infested waters.
This is what causes different countries to go against us.
Well, you know what? They're not with us now, and let's throw another one overboard.
We're trying to...
what other countries should we not? What other countries should Americans not go to besides Somalia?
Well, look what's happening in the world.
No, well, Mill, tell me where else should we? Should we not go to Israel? Should we not go to Egypt? Where else should we not go? Should we not
Who's talking about Israel and Egypt? Well, stick to the subject. We caused.
I'm asking you where else, Milt, you don't want to go. That's all I'm asking you, Milt. Where else don't you want to go? We're not talking about going to North Korea here, Milt.
You're not wanted over there.
Oh, so therefore we don't have... They're 200 miles. Listen to this. Do you know how far 200 miles out to sea is, Milt? It's like between here and New York.
You don't get it.
You know what, Milt? I don't get you, but thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah.
You call anytime. I don't get it, Milt. You're right. That's it. We're not going to go there because we're not wanted there. That's right. Clark in Watertown. Hey, Clark, how are you?
Dan, I'm well, and the better for listening to you.
Thank you very much.
Well, I'm well and truly the voice of reason, and I've listened to BZ for years. I've followed your career for years, and may your banner forever fly.
Thank you very much, my friend.
So, as usual, you and I are exactly on the same page.
Well, that's good to hear.
However, I'll take one little exception to your notion about giving these guys the deep six.
Well, all we're doing is giving them a chance to swim to shore.
My concern there would be, I'm for giving them a bad case of lead poisoning.
Well,
if you throw them overboard to the sharks, there's a good chance the sharks will give them professional courtesy.
That's lawyers.
Well, present company excluded. Anyway, I just wanted to say, keep on keeping on, because you're the beacon for so many of us out here. A lot of people that don't call who discuss your work and discuss what you're doing. So,
well, Clark, I can't
thank
you.
For the voice of reason, my friend.
I thank you very, very much. Feel free
to talking with you again.
You call anytime. Tell your friends. We're on here. We're here every Monday through Friday night. When we first started the show, we were splitting it up some nights with Bruins games, but you can set your clock by us. 8:06. We're here Monday through Friday night.
And I usually am too.
Thank you so much, Clark. I appreciate your call. Good night.
Right.
Good night. 617-254-1030, 888-WBZ-1030, 888-929-1030. Talking about the animus towards Scott Brown from some quarters over whether or not, some even suggesting that his claims of sexual abuse as a child maybe aren't true. And also, what would you do with those Somali pirates? Today, there were 19 of them on a boat. If you haven't heard the story, they executed four Americans, two men, two women, retired, who were, according to Milt, doing the horrific thing of actually sailing their yacht somewhere in God's world. Teddy in Woburn. Hey, Teddy. How are you?
Hi. How are you, Dan? Nice show.
Nice to talk with you, Ted. What's what would you like to comment on?
Well, I was in the military, and you know, first of all, you mentioned politically correct.
That,
what's
not
the
a big
opposite of politically correct? A war.
Yeah.
So how can you have a politically correct war? When I was in, if we fought politically correct war, I'd be dead. Okay.
Sure.
Now, yeah. Anyway, what I'm saying is, these Somalian guys, this is an idea. We get like an ocean liner. Something that looks like easy pickers. Rich people have them up playing shuffleboard. The whole thing, they go, what an easy score. Rich people, woman. But they don't know it's still the military. Now, they go after that. They make their move. We blow them up with depth charges, rockets, whatever. And they'll think twice after that as whether they go after a boat or not, because they don't know if it's a trap.
Teddy, do me a favor for a second. You just heard two callers before. Milt was suggesting, well, why were these people even there? I'm appalled by that. These people were 200 miles out to sea. This isn't like someone being totally nuts and booking a vacation in North Korea or in Iran. They were on a boat. Not
but
the place I would be.
I say you set them up. You show them easy pickers. They go for it. The military's in there. And you take them out. They'll think twice about any boat they go after.
Teddy, I'm with you.
Whether it's a trap.
If they elect me.
That's how we got through Vietnam.
Teddy,
we had to set traps. We had to do a lot of things.
If I get elected president, you're going to become the Secretary of Defense, okay?
Okay. All right. I'll take you up on that, dude.
Thanks,
okay.
Pal. Good night. Have a great one. Right. Thanks. Good night. Let's go from Teddy and Woburn to Ted in the car. Hey, Ted, how are you?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's up?
Hey, Dan, it sounds like you're the voice of emotion tonight on this pirate issue.
Well, sometimes the voice of reason can be passionate.
That's right. If you were commander of that naval vessel, I think you'd be facing a court-martial when you got back to port.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Alan West, who was the lieutenant colonel in Iraq, faced a court-martial for discharging his weapon behind the head of an operative in Iraq. He probably saved the lives of some of his men and women, but he faced a court-martial. He's now a member of Congress.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd take that court-martial.
Well, you'd be going down with some of the Navy SEALs that participated, unfortunately. I mean, this is going to cost us $10 or $15 million to fry these murderers and put
well,
them.
Well, Ted, that's the point. I would have saved the government $10 or $15 million, and that $10 or $15 million can do a lot more good in this country to help educate kids, to help feed poor people, as opposed to feeding, housing, and clothing these scumbags.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a parallel between...
And the other thing, what about this? Let me ask you this, okay? Let's assume that I don't kill him. But let's assume we say to him, okay, boys, we're going to let you go. Swim to shore and say hello to the shark family. Would that be a problem?
No. I don't think they'd get very far.
I don't either. But, you know, it wouldn't be my fault. It would be Mr. and Mrs. Shark.
You know what, Dan? There's a little bit of a parallel between the two subjects that you're discussing tonight, and it seems like the distractors for either Senator Brown, if they don't believe him, they're questioning his story. And those who aren't thrilled with the president are saying that he should have, you know, be more forceful out there out on the sea in this situation.
I am not going after the president on this one.
You are not, but there was a caller.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Who said, you know, he's cutting the military off at the knees.
Right.
He didn't cut the military budget, the defense budget in his new, the one that he's proposing.
Well, we'll see. Remember, the fellow who was saying that is a former Navy SEAL. So I give a little more more ability and flexibility to folks who served, particularly in that capacity. Ted, the one thing I can't give you is any more time because I'm way past the break.
Have a good night.
Call again.